Thank you, Keith. A lovely good morning to you all. Welcome to Wesley Memorial Church. If you are joining us on Zoom, welcome to you as well. On this 25th day of September 2022, we have a hybrid service in place today, which is going to be led by Joanna Tallack, one of our local preachers. So we'll be following her on the screen today, and she'll be leading us in a service on one of the series of Our Calling as Methodists. Again, we continue to say we've observed the COVID instructions as you feel comfortable, and we invite you to join us for tea and coffee and conversation in our rooms on my left. Okay, and that will be the way to go. So may I just welcome Joanna now to take us through the service, and we'll follow through the program as she leads us. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Today's service, as Grace was just saying, is the first in a special series of studies around the Methodist Church's Our Calling framework, which is part of the concept of a Methodist way of life. The elements of our calling are set out on the banner in the church or on the screen. According to these, the calling of the Methodist Church is to respond to the gospel of God's love in Christ and to live out its discipleship in worship and mission. If you are in the church, you should have found a small prayer card on your seat explaining how these are arranged. There are four categories: worship, learning and caring, service, and evangelism. Learning and caring will be covered in separate services, so there will be five services in all. These are an opportunity to reaffirm our calling. Today's service is devoted to worship, and it's entitled Called to Worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from the Reverend Miriam Moule. We have come to worship God, the living God, who calls prophets and disciples to bear witness. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God, who answers the forces of hatred and hurt with the power of grace. We have come to worship God, all gracious God, who chooses you and me to receive and carry the word of life and hope. All glory to God. Amen. Our first song this morning is number 20 in Singing the Faith and will be on the screen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Now Keith is going to read for us from the Lion Storyteller Bible, the story of Moses and the burning bush.
Moses' skin was burned dark brown, and suddenly he saw it, a bright red burning bush. Its branches crackled orange and red, and Moses could not help but watch, for the bush did not burn up. "Take off your shoes," came a voice from the bush. "This is a very special place." "Who are you?" asked Moses. "And why are you talking to me? I'm just a poor shepherd." "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel," the voice replied. "And you are more than a shepherd. You are Moses, the man I have chosen to lead my people out of Egypt." "I can't do that," Moses trembled. "I left Egypt years ago, and I'm an old man now." "You can do it. You must do it," God answered. "For my people are slaves in Egypt and have prayed to be set free. I have heard their prayers, and you are the man I have chosen." "But what if I go and they don't believe you sent me?" Moses asked. "Take the walking stick that's in your hand," God said, "and throw it on the ground." Moses did as God told him, and the stick turned into a wriggling snake. "Now, pick it up," God commanded. Moses wrapped a shaking hand around the snake's scaly middle, and it turned back into a stick. "Show them that," God laughed. "Then they'll believe you." "But I'm so shy," Moses continued. "I'm no good at talking to people." "Don't worry about that," God assured him. "Your brother Aaron loves to talk. You can take him with you. Now go. My people need your help." So Moses went. He put on his shoes. He picked up his walking stick. And he went, off to set God's people free.
That story is probably one that you've heard before. Today we're thinking about calling and worship. But those words can mean a lot of different things to different people. They're both illustrated in the story though, so I'm going to concentrate on what these words might mean in relation to church and to God. One thing the reading didn't tell us is where Moses saw the bush that didn't burn up and what he was doing at the time. Moses was a shepherd looking after his father-in-law's sheep. It was just an ordinary day for him out on the hillsides looking after his father-in-law's sheep. But he'd wandered a long way away from his usual pastures, which were in a place called Midian. So where did he stop and see this burning bush? At a mountain called Horeb, probably the same one that we call Mount Sinai. And it was a special place already. But it became even more special after Moses met God there. So what actually happened on the mountain? First, Moses turned to look at the burning bush, but it was burning so brightly that he couldn't see anything. Then a voice called him out of the bright light of the bush and told him to take off his shoes because he was standing in a special place, or as most Bibles say, on holy ground. Moses was in the presence of God himself, who was hidden in the bush. So Moses did take off his shoes and waited for what God would say next. He was giving God all his respect and attention. We could say that he was worshipping, not in the way that we do in church with all the prayers and hymns and songs and so on, but still worshipping. What God said next really surprised Moses. This is where we move on from worship to calling, which is when God chooses us to spend our lives in the way he asks. God wanted Moses to do something which was a huge task, to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and bring them to the land God had for them. Moses didn't think he was up to it, so he said so. But after conversation between him and God, Moses eventually accepted the call. We've all witnessed an important example of calling and worship recently, haven't we? When our late Queen Elizabeth II was a girl, she wasn't expecting to become heir to the throne or to have to rule the country when she was just a young woman. But that's what she ended up doing for 70 years. And at the same time, she became the supreme governor of the Church of England. We know that she had a very strong faith, and she believed that God had called her to this life of worship and service. She obeyed readily. It became her mission in life. God calls all sorts of people, young and old, important and insignificant, rich and poor, to lead their lives in a particular way. It might be something big like the examples I've talked about, or it might just be something small, but an important kind of worship and mission all the same. When you're praying or listening to God, see whether God has a special task for you. It won't be a blinding light from a burning bush, and it won't be a voice in the way we understand it, but you will know somehow what God wants you to do. We'll sing hymn 663, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Now, as the young people leave to go to their own classes, we say to them, the Lord be with you. And the response is, I also, and also with you. Choir are going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be, arranged by Anthony Eddy. Now, our second reading, also from the Lion Storyteller Bible, it'll be read by Kath, and it's called The Beautiful Gate.
And John were going to the temple to pray. There were lots of ways into the temple, many different gates, and the gate that Peter and John chose on this particular afternoon was the gate called Beautiful. It was covered all over in bronze and shone brightly in the blazing sun. Sitting outside the gate, however, was someone who did not feel beautiful at all. He was a poor, sick man who couldn't walk, who had never walked in his whole life, not ever. And so he sat there day after day, begging for what little money those passing by would give him. When Peter and John came near to the man, he reached out his hand. "Can you spare some change?" he asked, hoping for something beautiful, like a shiny silver or gold coin. But Peter had something even better in mind. "I don't have any silver," he said, "or any gold either. But I'll give you what I do have. the power of Jesus at work in me. So by that power I tell you, stand up and walk. Then Peter took the man's hand, and right away he wasn't sick anymore. He could feel the power in his feet and in his ankles and in his legs. So he stood up. He stood up and he started to walk. And that's not all. He followed Peter and John through the gates into the temple. And by that time, he wasn't just walking. He was leaping too, walking and leaping and praising God for what had happened to him. The people saw him and were amazed. And there was only one word for what they saw in his eyes and his face and his dancing feet. Beautiful.
Now we say a prayer of thanks and praise to God. Let us pray. God of unimaginable love, we give you thanks and praise for the love that welcomes the unlovely, for the love that pardons the unworthy, for the love that knows no limit, we give you thanks and praise. In the love that inspires our worship, in the love of which we would hear more, in the love we share in our caring, we give you thanks and praise. As your love in us serves our neighbour, as your love tells its story through us, as your love calls us your people, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. We cannot measure how you heal. Song number 655.
We are the dead.
like to start with a short extract from Psalm 95. Sing joyful songs to the Lord. Praise the mighty rock where we are safe. Come to worship with thankful hearts and songs of praise. The Lord is the greatest God, King over all other gods. He holds the deepest part of the earth in his hands, and the mountain peaks belong to him. Staying with Moses and the mountain for a moment, we saw how he found himself worshipping God in those dramatic surroundings. Our worship can be private or public. It can be at home or in church. But sometimes we'll be caught up in praise and thanksgiving at some other time, perhaps because we see the sheer grandeur of creation. We're not going to see a burning bush that doesn't burn up, although recently with climate change, we've seen plenty of bushes and trees that do, unfortunately. And probably we won't actually hear God's voice speaking to us, but it can be a moment of calling and worship all the same. When our daughter Marion was small, I used to sing hymns to her when she was having her bath. One day we were singing Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult or some such hymn, and she asked me, "What is his voice like? Does it sound like Daddy's voice?" This amused us because my husband is a Shetlander and speaks with a distinct accent. And when talking to his child, he did and still does use Shetland dialect. So we started to imagine Jesus speaking Shetland. I recently went on holiday to Montenegro in the Balkans. It's a small country about the size of Wales. It's also quite a new country, only formed as an independent state in 2006. Its name means the Black or Dark Mountain. And there isn't just one mountain, but whole chains and crowns of them everywhere, green and black and white. On our second day, we went up the single track road to the ancient capital of Montenegro. The road snakes up the side of the mountain with 25 hairpin bends and sheer drops on the outside edge of the mountain. It was very dramatic, especially as we were climbing up this road in a 50-seater bus. Here's a picture of that mountain on which you can just see the road winding backwards and forwards. When we got to hairpin number 25, we stopped and got out of the bus to take pictures. It was such a magnificent sight that I just wanted to praise and worship God. Here's a picture of the view, although it doesn't really do it justice. So many ways to see the mountain, from the path through the foothills, a distant peak, to the hairpins lying below you as you climb towards the sky. So many layers has the mountain, green, grey and white of moss, rock and snow. Adamant in its glorious vastness, the mountain speaks to the soul. On another day, we went up a steeper mountain still to the Ostrog Monastery and Church, which were carved right out of the rock face with a stone facade. It was difficult to imagine how it was possible to create this site, how they'd hauled the stone up the mountain and hewed the rock out of that height. The Montenegrins are very serious about their worship. On a third trip, this time by boat across the bay, we visited a church the sailors had been called to build on an artificial stone island, in thanksgiving for being saved from drowning. The inside walls of this church were covered in silver votive plates, one for each act of thanksgiving. But to return to our own calling and worship, and the second story that we heard this morning, the beautiful gate. Peter and John were going into the temple in Jerusalem to worship, as Luke tells us was their practice. After his ascension, the disciples remained in Jerusalem and were continually in the temple blessing God, he writes. This is something that we can measure our personal calling against. As the prayer cards say, we have a commitment to worship God through private prayer, through meeting for worship with others regularly, and by looking and listening for God in Scripture and the world. On the other side of the card, under worship, you'll find some questions to ask yourself about the pattern of your prayer life. How easy or hard you find it to pray? What has spoken to you recently in worship or the Bible? And when lately you felt close to God or distant from God? Take the cards away and think about them, but bring them back before the next service. These are questions for you to consider personally and share and discuss with others, so that we're all encouraged to grow together. And I'd like to stop, like you to stop and think for a moment now about our public worship. Why do you come to church on a Sunday? What do you find helpful and what not so helpful? Is it the prayers, singing, Bible readings, or preaching? Or maybe you mainly come for the fellowship with other Christians, or especially for communion. Just have a moment of silence now while you think about those things. Over several years now, we've been trying to improve our premises and fit our church for mission. The new atrium, which follows the Our Calling pattern, is one example of this, but there are many others. Worship doesn't happen here only on a Sunday, of course. The church is open for prayer and quiet reflection on weekdays, and on Wednesdays at 12:30, there's a short prayer service to which you can bring your prayer requests, either in person or online. Other opportunities for worship during the week include the meditation group, which meets usually online on Wednesday and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. And the open-end fellowship group every other Monday evening, in which you can discuss your faith as suggested on the prayer cards. There is also the online circuit service, which you can watch at any time during the week on YouTube. I don't want to encroach on the points from the other four sessions, but there are all sorts of ways in which you could get involved in this mission during the week. After Christmas, we're going to have another series of sessions about it, called Leading Your Church into Growth. Returning to the second reading, Peter and John were called on to suspend their worship in the temple to talk to a lame man who was sitting at the beautiful gate begging. They had no money to give him, but inspired by the power that Jesus had given them, they were called to heal the beggar who followed them into the temple to worship God, dancing and leaping about as he went. The beggar had been far from beautiful a few moments before, but Peter and John's belief that they could heal him convinced him that he was beautiful to God. They didn't even need to invite him in because of Jesus's power communicated by their healing hands. This reminds me of a mission-related story which was part of a TV program I watched years ago. There was an old woman who was a down and out and had ended up in prison. And she felt she was a nobody that no one cared about. But then when she became seriously ill, a fellow prisoner cared for her and brought her medical help. Then someone invited her to come to the prison church. At the end of the story, the old woman said of those who had helped her, "You made me feel like somebody." One of the translations of the burning bush story that I looked at had Moses saying to God, "Why have you chosen me? I'm just a nobody." But God made him feel like somebody, and he accepted the calling to free the Israelites from slavery and bring them to the new land God had prepared for them. We might feel we're not very good Christians, or that our prayer life is shallow, but everyone is somebody as far as God and Jesus are concerned. The call is not a command, but a gentle invitation. Will you accept it, offer it to others, and find your calling in making them feel like somebody? I'd like to end with a poem about one of those moments I spoke about at the beginning of the sermon. When the sheer beauty or grandeur of creation calls you into prayer. It's called Thin Place, and it represents a moment of grace that I felt in Glastonbury and wanted to share with others. Come, take my hand and climb the dewy hill, drinking the grass's mystery, up to the womb hollow, the comb follow, the bushy broom's yellow. Up, up above the mists and the roots of love and birth lies this dip where you may lie in the loving word of God, stroked by his gracious touch, yet still, so still. And when you are ready, not yet, when you are really ready, pluck a single tongue of grass, fragile yet strong, to take upon your journey in remembrance of the growth you have known here. Amen. For Methodists, an especially important part of the experience of public worship is singing, as reflected in our next hymn. But hymns and worship songs can be used in private prayer too. Reading through them quietly can reveal insights that you missed when you were caught up in the singing. So we're going to sing number 21, Born in Song, God's People Have Always Been Singing.
Thank you.
How we bless our offerings. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for all that you are and all that you give us. We thank you for the love and grace that you show us. Use all that we have to offer in your service. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now our prayers of intercession and commitment and the Lord's Prayer. O God, we pray for His Majesty King Charles III, blessing you for his readiness to accept and protect people of all religions in our country. We pray for our Prime Minister, Liz Truss, and her government, that they might serve the needs of all the population, especially those who are disadvantaged. We pray for ordinary people who are worried about the cost of living and whether they will be able to cope. We remember those we know who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and those who mourn. Remembering all areas of conflict in our world and the crisis of climate change, we'll now pray in the words of hymn 708. O God of hope, your prophets spoke of days when war would cease, when taught to see each a person's worth, when faithful stewards of the earth, we all would live in peace. We all would live in peace. We pray that our divided world may hear their words anew, then lift for good the curse of war. Let bread with justice bless the poor and turn in hope to you, and turn in hope to you. Earth's fragile web of life demands our reverence and our care, lest in our folly, sloth and greed, deaf both to you and others' need, we lay our planet bare, we lay our planet bare. Earth's rich resources give us power to build or to destroy. Your spirit urges us to turn from selfish, fear-bound ways and learn God's selfless trust and joy. God's selfless trust and joy. The Prince of Peace is calling us to shun the way of strife. He brings us healing through his pain. Our shattered hope is born again through his victorious life, through his victorious life. Heavenly One, you are beyond all knowledge and yet known to us. You are outside our experience and yet deep within us. We commit ourselves anew to follow your will and to work towards your purposes, that all the world might be transformed for the benefit of all creation. Fill us with hope, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And a prayer from the Centre for Action and Contemplation. I receive a daily meditation from them online, and I think this prayer, which comes at the end of each meditation, is particularly appropriate. God, Lord of all creation, lover of life and of everything, please help us to love in our very small way what you love infinitely and everywhere. We thank you that we can offer just this one prayer, and that will be more than enough, because in reality, everything and everyone is connected, and nothing stands alone. To pray for one part is really to pray for the whole, and so we do. Help us each day to stand for love, for healing, for the good, for the diverse unity of the body of Christ and all creation, because we know this is what you desire, as Jesus prayed that all may be one. We offer our prayer together with all the holy names of God. We offer our prayer together with Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our last hymn, which is number 675 in Singing the Faith, is one that I don't think we know, so it's quite a simple tune, but I've asked for the tune just to be played fully before we start singing. Number 675, because the Saviour prayed that we be one. May the blessing of God go before us. May grace and peace abound. May the Spirit live within us. May love wrap us around. May this blessing remain with us always. May we walk on holy ground. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.